It's that time again for Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. Don't touch that dial. Stay tuned for Kingdom Building. We've got a great topic and a great show ahead.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Everybody sing.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom?
Come on.
Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part? Oh, don't you want to be a part?
WAIF as a community radio station serves only to open its airways to responsible divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF 88.3 Cincinnati, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. So glad you're here with us today, and we're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So make sure you stay with us. On a side note, I saw a couple cousins I hadn't seen in a little bit, and they may be listening. They kind of accidentally happened to come across. They didn't know I was on the radio, and they accidentally happened to come across. And they heard that voice, they said, I know who that is. So, Jack and Tammy, if you're listening, God bless you. I love you. And it's so good to see you last Friday. And the circumstance was that their father had passed away, and he was in his 90s. I mean, what a wonderful life. What a wonderful man. So anyway, God bless you. Still hurts, even though you lose a parent in their 90s, it still hurts, but it'll be all right. I know with my mom and dad, I still think about them. Every once in a while, I even dream about them. Amen. God lets me have a dream, and it's really cool to see them and hear their voice and whatever, and so God is good. God is good all the time. So, all righty, Cincinnati. My name's Rich here with Oscar and Mike.
Good afternoon.
Sometimes people say, well, you guys don't tell the names very often. Well, we don't want to draw any attention to ourselves.
No.
The attention we want to draw is to Jesus.
That's
and
right.
That's the only reason we're on the air. Even though we all make multi-million dollar contracts we just signed. Multi-million.
It's all in heaven.
And if you believe that, no, it is in heaven.
It's
that's
all in
right.
Heaven.
Build up your treasures in heaven.
That's right.
Where there's not rust and...
It's going to have to be in heaven because it surely ain't here.
It's not here. Nope, it isn't. So, but anyway, okay, so we're going to get to our topic today. It kind of came to me driving in today that earlier going into work that... there's so much about heaven, but we don't know that much about it. And so the topic today came to me, is it possible to experience heaven on earth? And that's the spiritual side that came out, and then the earthly side that came out said, if so, why does it seem like hell on earth at times? So anyway, but God is love, and there is no way to experience heaven on earth without experiencing his love. And so, heaven coming to earth means that we are drawn into and learn to live in heaven's culture of love. It's all about love. Jesus, God is love. Jesus is God. He came down, and he was love. And all the things that people say about him aren't true.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you got a lot of things going on that's in the name of the Lord, As you'll know, if you listen to us very long here, we're not big on religion.
Nope.
I don't get upset with anybody, but if someone says, well, Rich is a religious guy, the answer to that is no, I'm not. A religion is a bunch of do's and don'ts and a bunch of rules and regulations, and Jesus said, I'm going to make it easy for you. You know, love God, love me with everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says all the laws, everything is tied up into that one, those mm-hmm. two things. So he made it easy for us. But you hear so much about Christians on radio and TV and just in the, you know, from just being around Christian people, you got some people that are saying, oh, you know, I can't wait to get to my home in heaven, meaning I got to die to do it. And you don't have to die to experience heaven. We're going to talk about that today. But let those same people get close to death and then see how many people they ask to come to the hospital and pray for them to live. Right. And also see how much money that they'll spend to stay here on this earth. So it's just it's a dichotomy. It's a funny thing. But anyway, the ultimate earth journey is to live and experience heaven on earth. So we're going to talk about heaven on earth. And the thing that amazed me when I did a little research on this is that the word heaven is found 582 times in the Bible. 582 times. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, there's not too many words in the Bible other than, you know, ands and buts and whatever. I mean, I'm talking about words that have impact, spiritual impact. There is not too many words, I would say, that right. probably has many more, that's found many more times. But so little is known about heaven. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And where the Lord took me first was to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9, where Jesus told his disciples, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray, like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I'm sorry, did I say on? See, that's how we pray. Man, back in the day, we could pray the Lord's Prayer before a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you're allowed to do that now, but you know, I'm old, so back then we would pray the Lord's Prayer. And we always said, thy will be done on earth. Well, that's not what it says in the Bible. The Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what earth is the Bible talking about? I say it's talking about us. In our earthly condition, we can experience heaven because we can pray that prayer that Jesus said to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're going to begin this today. The last thing I'll say, and I'll open it up, is that in the Beatitudes, and that's in Matthew 5, chapter 5, the Beatitudes, meaning be of this attitude, says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Does poor in spirit mean that you just let people walk all over you or whatever? No, that doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you have completely submitted yourself to the Lord. You've surrendered. And then you are poor in spirit. Then he can use you. You're moldable clay. Then it goes on to say, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there's a lot. There's a lot you can find out about heaven in earth in you from the Beatitudes, which is Matthew chapter 5. The other thing is when Jesus died on the cross, the in the temple, the actual natural temple that was there on earth there in Jerusalem, the veil that separated the holy place with the Holy of Holies, that veil was ripped from mm-hmm. top to bottom. God ripped it. Mm-hmm. What did that mean? That mean now we had access. We had, that's where God was. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and atone for the sins. Okay, so only one person could go in once a year. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the Shekinah glory of God was. And you could only, one person could only go in there one time a year. That's where God resided. That's where he dwelled. Now, when that veil was rent from top to bottom, guess what? Not only did it allow you to go in to him, it released him to come into us. So that's we have a mm-hmm. wonderful blessing that they did not have then before the temple veil was rent, and that is intimacy and actual relationship with the Lord. And that's more important than all the books written about what they think is going to happen to in this world in the book of Revelation, which is a spiritual book, not a natural book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, where? In you. Mm-hmm. And so that's where heaven comes to earth. That's kind of, I mean, it's a lot more than that, but that's you know, where it all begins, is when that temple veil was rent, mm-hmm. gave access to God, and he was basically, you know, saying, I'm going to now make my temple with living stones, and that's you and me. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, chew on that a little bit.
You know, God wants us to live our life here on earth freely. And he's given us that opportunity by giving us a free will. But what he wants us to do is he wants us to live our life freely on this earth, but he wants us to put him in the forefront of our life. Because if we do that, then we are walking with him. And when we're walking with him, you know, we're talking about heaven on earth. Who could be in a better place than be walking with God?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, you know, Rich, I was just looking at this scripture in the Gospel of John, and you know, this is the scripture where, you know, Jesus begins to tell them basically about God so loved the world and so on and so forth that he gave his only begotten Son. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to come up here in verse 12, and it's chapter 3, verse 12. It says, if I had told you earthly things and you have not believed, how shall you believe if I should tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
In
heaven. He was standing right there with them.
Yes, yes.
Which is in heaven.
He was talking about.
And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, you know.
That's good. That's a good one.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But Jesus was standing right there amongst them, and he basically said, even the Son of Man, which am in heaven.
He's there standing on ground, terra firma, mm-hmm. and he's saying he's in heaven.
He's in heaven, that's right.
See, and basically he was the pattern son. He was who came so that we could see how we could live.
Right.
Really, he came to sacrifice himself, whatever. That is true. But more importantly, after that is understood, is, well, we can live this way too.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah, without sin, well, you know, all I can tell you is this. The Father, Jesus' prayer was, Lord, make them one as you and I are one. That's what his biggest prayer before he ascended into heaven. That's what his biggest prayer. And if we are one with him, then we basically do what he did.
Yeah.
That we do what he did when he was on earth, and that is, he says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. I don't talk or speak anything unless the Father gives me the words to speak it.
Right.
Rich, that was Brother Cheatham, and he's listening today.
Hey, Brother Cheatham.
And he missed the end of what you were talking about when we were talking about the Our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Can you repeat that for him?
The Our Father, just based... Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know exactly what he missed, but I will just quickly... the first verses that I brought out was the Lord's Prayer. I mean, that's the prayer that seems like even if you're not a Christian, you've heard the Lord's Prayer somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you know. And it says, Jesus said, he said, after this manner, therefore pray. So he's saying, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we always want to put on earth. It says in earth. Okay, well, you got to look at that with spiritual eyes to know what he's trying to say. And what he's trying to say is, we are earth. You know, it's just like the old expression, he took ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know, he took the dirt, and he breathed life into that dirt. So basically, so the earth that he's talking about here is us.
It's us.
So thy kingdom come in us. Just like Paul said, the mystery that has been hidden for ages was Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, you know, Christ dwells in us. The Lord dwells in us. He said that he wants to not make another temple over in the Middle East of, you know, stones and brick and mortar and whatever. He wants lively stones, which are people. And it says that the temple of God, the real temple of God, is people.
Mm-hmm.
It's us. And so I don't know, brother, if that answers the question you had as far as getting the end of that, but please call back if you can. Please call back, and you know, we'll, whatever we've said so far up to this point, we'll be glad to repeat it.
Yeah, and brother, it's 749-1444.
Yeah, anybody that wants to call in ever, our lines are always open. If you need prayer, we're here for you. We will pray with you. If you need, if you have questions, I can't tell you that we have the answers, but I know Jesus does. And someone's calling in the other line. They're not coming across the phone lines here. But anyway, yeah, always, always, always call in if you have any questions or if you have a comment. You know, you may think we're all wet in here, so we'll be glad to let you speak. So what do
you
say?
Answered his question.
Oh, he did. I did. Okay. Well, good. Good. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening, brother. We appreciate you calling in. So anyway, so if you just tuned in, it's about almost, 18 after 12. But if you just tuned in, the topic today is, you know, is it possible to experience heaven on earth? And Brother Oscar came up with a great scripture where Jesus was basically saying, here I am.
Right, Son of Man, which am in heaven, standing right there in front of him.
Standing right there in front of him. He's saying, I'm in heaven. So guess what? He's the pattern son. Whatever he did, he was the foreshadow of what we are going to be.
I have another scripture for you here. And if we're talking about being in heavenly places, us being in heavenly places, mm-hmm. here on earth. And it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So he says,
raised us up together. That
and,
if you're together,
we're sitting
you're
together
both, yeah,
in heavenly places in Christ.
Right.
So So what, you know, what we have to come to realize is that the heavenly places he's talking about is having such a God consciousness that you're fellowshipping with him. And I got news for you. Wherever God is, that's heaven.
That's right.
That's heaven. You know, everybody wants it to be a place and a certain place behind so many
Mars
or
Pluto
planets out there. But I believe it's just basically another dimension where you're basically just so in the presence of God that when you're in that dimension, you're in a heavenly place. And he tells us that we're seated together with him, raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that is not of yourself, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I mean that whole second chapter of Ephesians, if you read it, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful chapter. And I mean it really clears up a lot of things if you really just understand. And see, we have to realize that the scripture tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ and we begin to acknowledge God in all of our ways and he directs our paths, then so to speak, no matter where we're walking at, we're walking in heavenly places.
Amen.
Because we're walking with him.
I like in Corinthians, it would be 2 Corinthians.
Uh-huh.
Paul says, grace to you and peace from God.
What chapter is that, 1?
That's 1.
Uh-huh.
Our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies,
mm-hmm.
and God of all comfort. If you're not being comforted, you can. You know, it is available. If you need comfort right now by the Lord, then you can have it. You just got to get mm-hmm. with him and allow him to comfort, because mm-hmm. it says, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say he's going to take away every problem that comes your way. He didn't say that. What he did say, that you will be comforted and you will have peace that passes all understanding when all these things start coming in on you. So it says, comforts in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort. Why does he do that? This is the reason. That we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. He doesn't give you all this, folks, to sit there and hoard it. He wants you to give it away. He wants you to, whatever you have that's going to bring a comfort to someone else, the comfort may come from someone that you don't even know. Could be someone at the grocery store, and all of a sudden, you know, somehow they say the right word to you, and you get comfort from it. So it says, comforts us who are in any trouble with the comfort that with which we ourselves are comforted. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. So he provides it all. And you know what, we talk a lot here about the finished work of Christ. We talk a lot about that because it's so important to be able to walk out this life with the understanding that Christ said it's finished. And if it's finished, it's finished. You can't finish a project and it's just half finished. When you walk away and say, this is finished, it's complete, then it's complete. So The Bible says that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's already, so much of these prognosticators and whatever that want to write books on end times, so much of what they talk about has already been done. It happened already. And they're saying it's going to happen in the future. No, it's already happened. Jesus said it is finished. And yeah, you know, there still could be wars and rumors of war. Yeah, there could be all that. But the bottom line is Christ did all that he can do. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to read his word? Are you going to study his word to show yourself approved? And are you going to actually believe his word? And then, you know, you say, well, how do I believe it? I don't know. Keep reading. Sooner or later, the more you read that word, hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. And you, that's not necessarily someone talking to you. That's reading the word. And so once you believe it, then guess what? You're going to start to become it. It will be a part of you. And so, you know, there's a scripture in Matthew 13:11 says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it is not given to them. So who is it given to? Those who have a relationship with him, those who ask, seek, and knock, those who stay, you know, read his word, those who study his word to show themselves approved, all those, God just opens it up. I am amazed at some of the stuff that he's opened up to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Rich, you know, you were talking about in that scripture in Corinthians about God's mercy and comfort and ease in our lives. You know, and if we know the Lord, if you know God and you have God in your life, why would you not, when something comes up, go to him first? Why would you not do that? He's, you know, I know that's just one scripture in the Bible that talks about God's mercy for us, and there are many, many more. And you know,
his mercies are new each and every morning,
and he continually keeps showering it on us. And we, you know, why would you not be aware of it? Why would you not try to be aware of what he's doing for us in our lives? I mean, I know for me, I do know why, because I've taken the attitude that God's in control. And, you know, if we allow ourselves to let him take control of our circumstances, that's when the mercy flows. You know, when we try to be in control, it's not going to work.
That's what that word means, Lord. When you call him Lord, you're saying you're in control, because the word Lord means controller.
Sovereign controller.
Sovereign controller.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. You know, the thing about it is that so many times we don't realize that, you know, they asked Jesus one time, they said, what'll be the signs of the times of your coming and so on and so forth?
Yeah.
And part of it was, is he told them, he said, you know, it doesn't really come. He said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars and all that stuff. He says, but he basically went ahead and told him, he says, but the kingdom doesn't come with observation.
Yes.
He says, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
And when we come to the realization that God's kingdom dwells inside of us,
yes,
and that great mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations, which now should be as clear as daylight to everybody, like it says in Colossians, that Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
You know, when we receive Jesus Christ, that Spirit of God rose up inside of us, and you know, we're to be seated together with him in heavenly places. And what does that mean to be seated? When you talk about that situation of being seated, what happens when you sit down? What are you doing when you
resting.
Sit down? You're resting. And you know what? You're taking a load off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians out there, you need to take a load off.
Amen.
You need to give it back to God. You need to sit down with Him. And all those problems and all those struggles and all those situations that you find yourself in, you need to sit down with the Lord and say, now, okay, Lord, these all belong to you.
You know, there's probably someone sitting there going, you know, you guys just don't realize how easy you make it, even though it's too easy. Mm-hmm. It really is. Because I've done some bad things, or I'm not doing the things you're talking about. You know, I'm not reading the Bible. I've never read it in my life, whatever. I'm not doing this. So this isn't available to me, I guess.
No, it's available to everyone.
It's available. You know what? For God so loved the world.
Yeah.
Who is not in the world?
Yeah.
The world encompasses every human being that ever lived and will ever live. He loves you so much. You know, religion will tell you that there's a list of do's and a list of don'ts. Jesus will tell you, just come on over here and let me love on you. Yeah. That's the Jesus, the real Jesus is, you know, he hung out with the undesirables. He hung out with the sinners. Man, he got chastised by the religious people so badly mm-hmm. that they wanted to kill him. But all he was doing was spreading his love yeah. to all people. And really, the only people he got angry with were the religious people. Mm-hmm. And he got angry with them, called them whitewashed sepulchers. I mean, there was a thing yeah. called a sepulcher, which like a statue, they would whitewash them, and you were not allowed to touch them because you defiled them if you mm-hmm. did. So you got in trouble if you touched them. So he's sitting there saying, oh, you this high and mighty thing that's untouchable. Well, guess what? You know, you've missed the whole point of what this is all about. So anyway, God loves you no matter where you are, no matter what you've done. And he forgives you no matter what you've done. And, you know, part of living in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, is having that same love and forgiveness that Jesus had for you.
Well, Rich, you know, you were just talking about, you know, well, I don't read the Bible, I don't do this. You know, if you feel that way, start by just having a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Just start talking to him. Say, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do here. You know, ask him for some wisdom in whatever your situation is.
And if you do know, read the Bible, Mike, and you don't understand it, ask him
for that, too.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's what we talk about. We've talked about being simple on this show a lot. You know,
we're simple.
You know, but the truth of the matter is, getting with the Lord is a simple thing.
We got to take a break, Mike. So you ready?
I'm as ready as ever.
You ready, Freddie?
In response to an increasing number of abused and neglected children in Kentucky, the Diocesan Catholic Children's Home in Fort Mitchell is searching for foster and adoptive parents. There are now more than 350 children in Kentucky's foster care system waiting to be adopted. If you can help, please call Ron Birch at 859-331-2040 or visit online at www.dcchome.org. Some of us thought about becoming teachers when we were little. Well, it's time to put it back on your list.
Then we changed our mind.
Some did, some didn't. Huh? Innovative things are happening in teaching today. Find out how you can make more at teaching.org. Make more, teach. A message from Teach and WAIF Cincinnati.
All righty then.
And underwriting is a great way to help your business out there, and WAIF can help. Call one of our underwriting experts today at 513-961-8900, and they will guide you through the process of underwriting. It's easy, and rates will not affect your budget, and you will be helping your business and WAIF 88.3.
You know, we're talking today about experiencing a heaven here on earth, and it's you experience it inside. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the heart, but it's not the thing that's beating and pumping inside, pumping the blood inside your body. It's your innermost being, and that's where the Lord resides. That's where he lives. But we're talking about heaven and how heaven is listed in the Bible 582 times. I would say that's important. And still to this day, there's not a lot known about heaven. But we're going to talk to you today about heaven here on earth, because we pulled from when Jesus said, hey, you need to pray this way, and it's our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, go ahead.
It's interesting. I was just sitting there thinking, it's interesting you were saying not much is known about heaven, but if you listen to the scientific people, what do they call the heavens?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, is it more than one, or is it one?
Well, all we know is the heaven that is in the Bible.
That's
and
right.
That's all we know, and that's all I care about. I mean, yeah, there could be whatever out there, and that's good, and that's fine, because if there is something out there, God created it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't just pop into existence. But one thing I want to say, it says in Matthew 16:19 that Jesus said he will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's going to give them to you. But you know what? If someone gives you something, you got to take it. If someone hands you a gift, it's not yours until you take it. So if he's going to give you the keys, guess what? You got to reach out and grab those keys. And you got to unlock the kingdom of heaven. And you do it by the way what we're doing now. And that's taking the word of God and basically breaking it down and coming up with, sometimes we have to come up with the Hebrew and Greek meanings. But all that is available online where you can even do that. But Jesus said, heaven is my throne. So guess what? If he's inside of you, guess what? He's sitting on the throne of your life. It says, and earth is his footstool. What house will you build? What house will you build me, saith the Lord? And what is the place of my rest? Jesus said, it's finished. So he's sitting down, like Oscar said, and he's resting. Doesn't mean that we have to go out there and huff and puff and do whatever. It just means that the hard work's been done. And what's left now is for us to believe and to become. And so so basically, the throne in our heart is where he sits. And that's where his presence resides. That's where he dwells. And, you know, we just know that when he moves, we realize it. We realize we see him moving in so many different ways. And if you're open to the move of God, you'll see it and you'll recognize it, because you'll be looking at it through spiritual eyes and not through your natural eyes. Got something, brother?
Well, just kind of going back a little bit to what was said earlier, you know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, starting with verse 39, because you said, you know, we were talking about that you don't always have to read the scriptures and stuff to know God, and you don't. Jesus said here, this is Jesus talking, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. In verse 40, and this is the most important part of that verse, but you will not come to me that you might have life.
There you go.
And see, that's the important part. You can approach, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to approach the Lord. All you got to do is just say, Lord, I desire to know you. And begin to just spend a little time getting quiet and still before the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised what he'll teach you or what he'll show you. And, you know, the scriptures are wonderful. They testify of the Lord, and they're kind of our roadmap, mm-hmm. so to speak, to let it keep us on course. But I want you to know that even with that, you know, it's not necessary for you to be a Bible scholar. I know people who love God and who do treat people good and do good things for people all the time who don't read the Bible that much, you know. Well, you know, it's good to search the Scriptures for they which testify of me, you know. And if you want to know the Lord a lot of times, then a part of it is searching the Scriptures. But I also want you to know that, you know, I heard a preacher one time, and he spoke some of the deepest sermons, and that guy couldn't even hardly read. His wife had to read the Scriptures for him. She would actually stand up and read his Scriptures, and then he would comment on them, you know, because he wasn't educated enough to even hardly read. But God used that man mightily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not about how smart you are, and it's not about, you know, you being some, going to seminary and being some, having some big degree or anything like that. It's about you coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and coming to Him. And you come to Him, He's not in any way going to turn you loose. You know, He's going to hang on to you. And I have one other scripture. We were talking about the different heavens, and Mike said something about the scientists say all these different heavens. Well, now there is one scripture concerning that.
Third heaven?
Yes, and that's in 2 Corinthians 12:2. And I believe this is Paul talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I'm going to start off with verse 1. He said, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ," and I believe that man was himself,
yeah,
"above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, or in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Wow. And you know what? I think a lot of times if we look in the Old Testament, how that they had the tabernacle in the wilderness and they had the temple, there was three realms there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I believe that there's a lot of people who just believe in basic salvation and boy, they're going to go to heaven.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's all they want to do is go to heaven. And they're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
But there's those that...
So much more.
There's those that God has called into a priestly relationship. And maybe they're going to go to that second heaven. I don't know. And then there's those who God is bringing up into the highest heaven. And I'm going to tell you what. There's different levels of knowing God. There's different levels of the heavens. And I don't say that I understand all that yet because I don't understand it completely, but I will tell you this. I believe Paul said he saw and he heard things that he wasn't even allowed to say what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things we don't know, folks, but I'm going to tell you what. I will tell you this. I've had some encounters with the Lord and they've been glorious. And I've been in some heavenly places with him, I believe, where it was glorious. And anytime you really come into that real deep presence of the Lord, it's a glory that you can't even really describe with words. And you know, Jesus one time took Peter and John and them and went up into the Mount of Transfiguration, they called it, and was transfigured before him. And he said his garments did shine like, well, it was like light, you know. And what it was, that broke from the inside of him to the outside. And buddy, when they first appeared, went up there with him, two people appeared to him, or two spiritual people, and it was Moses and Elijah, and they talked with him. And Peter said, "Well, Lord, let us build three tabernacles for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And a voice came out and said, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And basically, they fell down because it was God speaking to them in the spirit realm. And then they looked up and it said, and they saw no man save Jesus only. There's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. And, buddy, if you'll follow on to know the Lord, I don't care what level of heaven you go to or what level of spirituality you get into or anything else, that's all that really matters is Amen. That you know him.
In 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, it talks about, you know, giving up our earthly bodies for a body of resurrected body or whatever. But I love this part. It says, and this is in the message, it says, the Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead.
Right.
He puts a little heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less.
There you go. That's beautiful.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
Praise the Lord. Hey, if you have any prayer requests, you know, the anointing is here.
Yes.
His presence is here. And he wants to move. He wants to move on your situation. But you have to ask.
Yep.
It says, ask, seek, and knock. So
Amen.
By calling us up today, you don't even have to give your name, but by calling us up and saying, hey, I need prayer on this situation, you know, we're two or more gathered. He is there. His presence is there. And that means his presence is here right now. It's there with you. And the anointing is here, and the anointing breaks the yokes.
Amen.
And so give us a call. It's 749-1444. That's 749-1444. And we'll pray with you. If you have a comment about what's going on here and you have questions, whatever, hey, you know, give us a call. Again, you don't have to give your name unless you want to. So 749-1444. Give us a call. Even if you just want to call and say, hey, I'm listening, that's great too. You know, it's just good to hear from folks out there. And we've had a couple callers call in, but they didn't want to go on the air. That's okay too. So was that anything?
That was Brother Cheatham, and he would like us to pray for him. He's having trouble with his diabetes.
Brother Cheatham?
Cheatham.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
So we'll lift him up.
Yeah.
Let's lift him up.
Let's...
Father, we just lift up Brother Cheatham today, and Father, we just thank you for his courage to step out today and ask for prayer, Father, because, you know, he understands that you are in control and that you are the one that he needs to go to in his time of need, in his time of what's going through with his medical issues. So, Father, we just ask that you touch Brother Cheatham today and touch his diabetes, and, Father, just work through him and let him be a beacon for what you're going to do in his life right now. Because,
yes.
Lord, we believe you're touching him right where he sits, right this moment.
Amen.
Father, we just want to thank you for that. And thank you for all the blessings that you've given him. And, Father, we just expect that you're going to give him more blessings. And we look at you as, Father, as the giver and giver of all good things that need to be had. And, you know, we were talking about heaven on earth today. Father, if you're... in Brother Cheatham's heart today, he is in heaven today.
Mm-hmm.
He is in heaven. He's walking right with you right now. Father, he trusts you that you are the one he needs to go to.
Lord, we just come to you with Matthew 16:19, because mm-hmm. we just read part of that, and it says that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, which I didn't say, brother, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we bind up that sugar diabetes. Whatever is ailing him right now, we bind it up, and it's got to go. And we ask the Lord to loose his healing touch upon the brother, that he would be healed. The Bible says that by his stripes ye were healed. It was it's a past tense thing. It's already been done. It's not a future thing. We need to accept the healing as already been done. So, Father, we just thank you for our brother. We love him. We ask you, Lord, to bless him, bless his family, bless his ministry. And, Lord, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Okay, so you got something there, brother?
Yeah. You know, Rich, I was thinking about, you know, we were talking about being seated together in heavenly places, and I was thinking about in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 6:12-20.
Can you hold that thought?
Yeah.
We'll get to the phone lines. Okay, God bless you. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. This is your old friend, Sue. I've spoken to you guys a few times.
Hey, Sue.
Hi. My prayer that I wish everyone is for our city and for our country, and for all of us, a return to mercy and compassion for all people, that we can live in peace, that we stop this killing on the streets and slaughter of our young people. And if anybody can change people's hearts, I know it's the Lord.
Amen.
So that's my prayer for today. We just ask that, we ask the Lord, and he knows best. We trust in him, and God be praised in all days and all ways.
Amen, amen. Well, the Lord heard the cry of your heart, so those words did not fall on deaf ears.
That's right.
And so, Father, we just thank you that you're already moving on that prayer that Sue just prayed, and we stand in agreement that peace would prevail, and that, Lord, that you would just bring about that peace that passes all understanding, and that, Lord, that there would be fruit coming from that would just be so clear and obvious to everybody in the city that you had shown up and that you had made your mark on this city. And so, Father, we thank you for that in advance in Jesus' name.
You know,
amen, Rich, amen.
What I was going to say is before is that in the Old Testament there's a story where...
Thank you, Sue. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Where Elijah... You know, the prophet, the king of Syria was warring against Israel at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that he would get ready to do something, the Lord would let the prophet Elijah know what he was going to do, and he would tell the king and tell the king of Israel, and they would always be ready to handle whatever happened. And the king of Syria got upset because he felt like somebody was telling all of his secret plans to Israel. Yeah. Well, it was God. So he decided to, somebody finally told him, they said, well, you know, there's this old prophet Elijah, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this in my own words. If you want to read it, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. But he said, there's this old prophet down in Israel, and whatever you think or say upon your bedchamber, basically, he hears you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the king of Syria sent down all of his armies to capture Elijah. And they came down, and they were just all over the place, just multiple mounts of army. And Elijah's servant came in and told Elijah, says, oh, master, he says, there's this great amounts of army out there. He says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elijah paused for a minute, and he said, Lord, I pray that his eyes might be opened. And when he prayed that his servant's eyes was open, he looked up, and there was chariots of fire that had all of that army totally surrounded. And God caused blindness to come upon that army. And Elijah took and led that whole army right down into Israel, where they were captured, and the king of Israel said, "What shall we do, master?" Talking to Elijah, he said, "Shall we rise up and slay them?" And he said, "No, give them drink and food and let them go."
Wow!
And you know what? It said, "In all of the days after that, they didn't come back into Israel anymore."
Wow.
But I tell you,
Lord,
what,
we want you to do
his
that
eyes
for Cincinnati.
Was opened into the heavenly realms. His eyes was opened into the heavenly realms. See, and that's the thing, is that when we realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? And the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. And if God would just cause our vision to be on a higher realm sometimes, we'd know that we're already in those heavenly places, you know. And Elijah, back in that situation, he was in that heavenly place where he saw what God was doing. But his servant didn't until he prayed and said, Lord, I pray that his eyes might be opened. And boy, when his eyes was opened, all of a sudden he realized, hey, there ain't nothing to worry about here.
That's right. That's right. You know, we serve a God of miracles.
Oh, we do.
I mean,
we do.
You know, so just because he doesn't perform a miracle every time you want him to perform a miracle doesn't mean he doesn't perform miracles.
No, that's right.
He performs miracles. I mean, us three sitting around this table is a miracle.
Oh, yes. Well, how many miracles has God done for you personally?
Oh, saved my life. Saved my physical life that I should have been dead.
Many times, yeah.
And so, you know, we just have to let God do it his way.
That's right.
Because I think we get so caught up on, we want it now, we want it this way, we want it as, you know, we want. And that's not showing faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, you know, is believing that he's in control of this,
right,
and leaving it in his capable, right, hands, and not trying to keep taking it back.
Right.
Because when you take it back, that's not showing faith.
That's true.
So we just need to give it to the Lord, leave it in his capable hands. And what I've noticed is, you know, the maturing that I have experienced in the Lord over 30 years is just not getting so upset over things that you don't need to get upset,
right,
over.
Right.
Amen to that.
You know, I'm not saying I've mastered it, because only God can master it. I can tell you I'm so much better than I used to be. Right. I'm so much more patient than I used to be.
Right.
I still have a ways to go. He hasn't perfected it in me yet. He will. But one thing I know for sure, I can't take credit for anything. Any progress I have felt is not, I can't take credit for any of it. It's all God. Because I've proved time and time again, I was very impatient. You know, I wanted it my way and whatever. And it's like, guess what? Just sit back, relax, and let God do what he does best.
Yeah.
And that's giving you direction on your in your life as far as where he wants you to go, what he wants you to say, whatever, and just trusting him in all things, and leaning not on your own understanding,
right,
but trust him.
Right.
He's capable.
You know, Rich, you was talking about patience. In Romans, the 5th chapter, it says, tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
And you know, if you're praying for patience,
you're going to get
some tribulation, because until the tribulation comes and you begin to say, God, I give this to you, I'm going to rest in you, I'm going to trust in you, right in the middle of this tribulation, right in the middle of these problems, then that's what will work patience in you. Because if you trust him, you'll find out that he'll meet you. And I would like to say one other thing for the brother that called before about the sugar, and even for the sister that just called and had us pray, you know, her prayer, you know, Scripture declares that. Jesus said to them one time, healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, like you started off with in the beginning, give us this day our what?
Daily bread.
Daily bread. And when we pray and with that attitude and say, Lord, you are the healer. I'm trusting you for my healing. I'm trusting you for my health. And you know what? That's exactly what we need to do. Usually we're trusting everything else except him, you know.
That's right.
And that's where we get in trouble a lot of times. But we're going to believe that brother, that his sugar level is going to go down.
Amen.
That God's going to dispense that bread of healing and life to him. And that he's going to be, I expect him to call back the next time.
Yeah.
That we get on the air next week and say, hey, God did a miraculous thing.
Yeah, thanks to the two callers today, because what that does, exactly what Oscar was talking about, it basically brings about more faith when people, when right. they see that God's moving, and they see people that we don't even know calling in the station,
right.
and they're asking for prayer, and then they call back with a testimony. Like
and
that
happens a lot.
Well, that one lady, Sandra, she called up. She had three prayers. And I won't go into any details on it, but one of them was that her daughter and she would be reconciled.
Yep.
The very next day, her daughter's knocking on the door. Her daughter didn't hear our program.
Nope.
And the very next day, her daughter's knocking on the door, basically wanting to have coffee with her mom.
Wanting to reconcile, yeah. sure.
I'm telling you, God, you just got to believe that. You know, and if he didn't answer your prayer, guess what? It's not over yet.
Nope.
You know, God's timing is always perfect. Our timing, we think, is perfect.
That's right.
But he still answers prayer, and if he doesn't answer it today, guess what? He may answer it tomorrow. It may take a week, whatever, month. But guess what? It did not fall on deaf ears. He heard your prayer. He heard the cry of your heart, and it's important to him that he hears it. And that he moves on it. And he may move in a different way than what you think he's going to move on.
Right.
So anyway, God bless you, Cincinnati. We're going to get out of here so that Ultimate Wrist Tara Robinson can take over the mic here. So we're going to get out of here. God bless you, Cincinnati. So glad that you tuned in today. And make sure you stay tuned for the Ultimate Wrist with Tara Robinson. God bless you.